Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
How many of you have seen that television commercial? And after I was thinking about this, I haven't seen the commercial on TV in the last few days. But basically, it's this guy, he gets this note, and he opens this note. And it says, your heart attack will be tomorrow at 10 a.m., or something like that. How many of you ever, I know some of people here have had some heart problems and stuff, or various, did you get notice like that? No. You may have had some warning signs and stuff, but you didn't get a notice like that. And sometimes I think, you know, there's certain things that we really don't want to get a notice like that, you know. You just hope, you know, there's certain, I just soon never know. You know, but I want to talk this morning about what if. And a lot of stuff's been in the news over the last few years, but some of this stuff is all, and most of this is just news that's been on in the last 6 months. These events have been taking place, or people have been talking about it. As most of you here know, we went on vacation a couple of months back, and we went to Yellowstone National Park. And I started hearing this information just prior to the time we went up there. In fact, people started posting notes about it and stuff. You see, one of the big features of Yellowstone National Park is caused by the fact that it's an active volcano still. And so they begin talking about an eruption, a volcanic eruption. Possible volcanic eruption in 2014 has some people pointing to how animals have been spotted fleeing the national park in recent days. But scientists have acknowledged if a Yellowstone volcano were to erupt, the resulting supervolcano could kill everyone in the United States. Now, I know that that's a disputed statement there. They talked about it while we were there in one of the tours we were taking, that it would kill so many people within a certain range. We even began to hear how the U.S. government was making plans to evacuate a good portion of the population of the United States to some South American country, which I probably was not even a true thing, but I really don't know. But we were hearing about that. And, of course, the guy standing there and saying, you know, it hasn't erupted in so many hundred thousand years, and we don't expect it to erupt for another so many hundred thousand years. And you start to think as you're standing there that just so many feet below your ground or below the ground you're standing on, it's nothing but liquid fire down there. And you're thinking about this. You watch the steam as it vents through the various little funnels that are there, and things like Old Faithful that has the eruptions that are caused by the volcanic activity. And you stop to think, well, what would happen? What if it really did go off? They were telling us that the Grand Tetons, which is the mountain range just to the south of the park and actually ran up into the park, that a whole section of that mountain range was blown away during the last eruption so many eons in the past. Very powerful force. Well, we know from history that volcanic eruptions can be destructive. In fact, if I remember correctly, I preached a message about earthquakes and stuff like that a number of years ago, and I may have even mentioned volcanoes in it, I don't know. But Mount Vesuvius, that's probably the one that most of us know about. Mount Vesuvius on the west coast of Italy is the only active volcano on mainland Europe. And it's best known because of its eruption in AD 79 that destroyed the city of Pompeii. Now, I was watching a documentary the other day, and they were talking about Pompeii, and they were showing some of the excavation and how the people that were caught in this eruption, how they were essentially just frozen in place and became like rock as the ash and all this stuff covered them over and destroyed the area, and nothing could grow there, and no part of it was habitable for a number of years. And we say, well, that's all in the past, and, you know, that happened a long time ago as well. But then let's talk about Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington. And that happened in the most of us' here lifetime. May 18th of 1980, and the volcano located in southwestern Washington was a beautiful symmetrical cone about 9,600 feet above sea level. The eruption removed the upper 1,300 feet of the summit and left a horseshoe-shaped crater and a barren wasteland. I know several people were killed as a result of that eruption. Land that had been usable before was no longer usable. There was clouds that took place. And of course, in the last few years, there's also been eruptions at other volcanoes. One in Iceland, I believe, is still having some problems. Created a great cloud that actually disrupted air traffic around the globe, really. But really in Europe and all of that area, air traffic was disrupted for days because of the volcanic cloud. And you think, well, what if something like this was to happen? Well, the book of Revelations in chapter 8, verses 7 and 9, talks about something like this. It says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood." I want to stop there a minute. The first part of that verse 8 says, "A great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea." I know the first time I really saw anything about volcanoes, I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. And somebody showed a film at church. It was a missionary type film, and it was in Hawaii, and it was showing a volcanic eruption in Hawaii, and you could see the lava running down the mountainsides into the sea. It would essentially be a great burning mountain being cast into the sea. Just to kind of give you a thought there. Verse 9, "Then in the third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." What if that were to happen? It would be devastating. What would you do if you were living near it? What if? Here's another one that's been in the news. In fact, there was something just the other day about a rogue planet slamming into the earth, the possibility of that. London, England is where this report comes from. Actually, it was earlier this year that this was reported. It's now past history, but a giant asteroid is headed for Earth and could hit in 2014, U.S. astronomers have warned British space monitors. But for those fearing Armageddon, don't be alarmed. The chances of a catastrophic collision are just 1 in 909,000. The potential strike date was March 21st of 2014, so we know that that particular event did not happen. But could it happen in the future? Well, I looked up something. For an asteroid or a meteorite, 10 kilometers in diameter were to hit either the land or the ocean, what may happen? Well, first of all, an asteroid 10 kilometers in diameter is 6.2 miles in diameter, just to give you an idea of the size. And it doesn't matter where it hits, ocean or dry land. Now, I want you to remember the deepest point in the oceans is the Mariana Trench, and it's only 11 kilometers deep, which is just about 7 miles deep. Also, a typical speed for meteorites is about 30 kilometers per second. So an asteroid that is 10 kilometers or 6.2 miles across is so massive that it would be very hard to slow it down. And the impact with the Earth's crust would finally stop it. The energy of the impact will vaporize the asteroid and a large amount of the Earth's crust, creating a crater of more than 100 kilometers or 62 miles across, throwing all that rock into the air. Some of the debris will be going so fast that it will fly right out of the Earth's atmosphere and go into orbit around the Earth. Most of the debris, however, will rain back down on Earth, every part of the Earth, not just the area around where it immediately hit, but every part of the Earth. Heating the atmosphere until it's like the inside of an oven, triggering forest fires and cooking anything that isn't sheltered underground. The combination of dust from the impact and soot from the forest fires will remain in the Earth's atmosphere for a year or so, blocking the light of the sun. Without sunlight, much of the Earth's plant life on land and in the sea will die. What was I reading about a little bit earlier there? Things that would die, so much of the population would die. Many species of animals, including the human race, if we aren't both lucky and resourceful, will die out, either in the initial catastrophe or in the ensuing years due to the lack of food and the general devastation of the environment. Revelations chapter 8, verses 10 and 12 read, or 10 through 12 read, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood." By the way, that word wormwood can be translated bitter. "And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Think of the devastation if that event were to happen. What if it happened? If it happened in Middle Tennessee, for example, we wouldn't be sitting around talking about it later. We'd be gone. If it happened halfway across the United States, we would still feel the effects of it. Halfway around the world, they would feel the effects of it, as debris still continues to rain down from the heavens. Then what if there was an atomic explosion? And the likelihoods of this event are much greater right now than the volcanic eruption or the meteorite or rogue planet. Just think about it. August the 6th, 1945, the United States used a massive atomic weapon against Hiroshima, Japan. This atomic bomb, the equivalent of 20,000 tons of TNT, flattened the city, killing tens of thousands of civilians. While Japan was still trying to comprehend this devastation, 3 days later, the United States struck again, this time on Nagasaki. The atomic bomb that exploded over Hiroshima killed civilian women and children, in addition to soldiers. Hiroshima's population has been estimated at 350,000. Approximately 70,000 died immediately from the explosion, and another 70,000 died from radiation within 5 years. I want to add a note here because I was acquainted with people in one of the jobs I held in the past that were from that area of the world and were children at the time this event took place. And many of them were contracting cancer even later in life that was believed to be related back to that particular event. It says here, there was a pumpkin field in front of a house and it was blown clean. Nothing was left of the whole thick crop except that in the place, and this is a little gross here, there was a woman's head. A gold tooth gleamed in the wide open mouth. A handful of singed hair hung down from the left temple over her cheek, dangling in her mouth. Her eyelids were drawn up, showing black holes where the eyes had been burned out. She had probably looked square into the flash and gotten her eyeballs burned. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Nahum 1:5 says, "The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell in it." There was just in the news in the last couple of days that, again, Iran is talking about using nuclear weapons against the nation of Israel. There's also talk that there's nuclear material being smuggled to various places around the world. Who knows? There's a possibility a nuclear weapon could be set off in the United States. What if that happened? It would be utter destruction. No matter where you're at, there would be some fallout from it. What if? Any one of these events could happen, but what if you knew the time was at hand? What if you knew you got a note, you got an email? That's the way most of us get our notes anymore. You got an email. An asteroid is going to impact the state of Tennessee at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. What would you do? There'd be mass panic. People would be doing their best to try to get away from Middle Tennessee. And probably just about as many people could end up being killed in this panic as would be killed by the impact. It could happen. I know scientists say that they're monitoring the volcanoes and that they know when they're going to erupt to some extent. But they don't always get it right. So what if they got it wrong and Yellowstone blew up tomorrow? What if you got an email that said that that's going to happen? What would you do? Let's just think a moment about some of the scriptures that we've read. Here's what they said. One third of the waters will become bitter and undrinkable. Think about that. You turn on your tap and you can't drink the water. And I know in some places, it seems like water's almost undrinkable anyway. I remember when I was a kid, one of my uncles lived in somewhere over near Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And they had so much natural gas in their water that turning on the tap and drinking the water was like drinking carbonated soda pop without the flavoring in it. And it smelled horrible. Can you imagine something so bitter that it's impossible to drink? A third part of the light that we take for granted will be extinguished. We look forward to so many hours of daylight. We also look forward to so many hours of nighttime. But then suddenly it becomes night and things change. What would happen? First of all, certain things would stop growing because they need the sunlight to grow. Some of the crops wouldn't grow. Something we probably don't think about, and I know your weeds wouldn't grow quite as bad. One of the things we don't stop to think about when we read this scripture here, you know what else is going to increase? What's going to increase when that happens? Crime. It will increase. You'll be afraid to go outside because somebody may be waiting to take what you've got. A third of the trees, gone. I don't know how many of you people like trees, but we're very dependent upon trees. Stop to think about it. They help with our oxygen supply. They convert carbon dioxide back into oxygen. We get the oxygen from them. If we don't have trees, it's going to severely affect our oxygen supply. A third of them gone, though. And I know for folks that like trees, you know, you miss a tree when it's gone. We at least had to have two trees removed at the house. And you look out there and there's this big vacant spot now where the trees used to be. And you look and you kind of miss the trees. But think, a third of them gone. Maybe just the charred remains. One of the things that we also saw on the way into Yellowstone is they had a forest fire there a number of years ago. A huge forest fire. It's actually, I guess, more than one from what they say. And the charred remains of these trees are still on the landscape there. It's almost a surreal view you get as you look into these mountainsides and nothing but burned trees that have been there for several years. A third of the earth like that. All green grass is gone. And I know people that don't like to mow, they say, well, that's no big deal to me. But think about it, though. A third of the green grass gone. Well, not all the green grass gone, actually. A third of the sea becomes blood. Can you imagine you're one of these people that likes the ocean and the beach? And you run down to the beach and you run into the water and all of a sudden you realize you're covered in blood. You'd be getting back out pretty quick, wouldn't you? One third of all life in the sea is dead. We see events happen once in a while where sea life in some abundance dies suddenly. And they try to find out what's causing this. A third of the life in the sea is dead. One third of the ships are destroyed. Besides loss of life, there'd be a great impact on commerce if one third of all the ships were destroyed. Things begin to melt because of the heat. I put something up at home the other day and it's out in the sun and I thought this is going to be fine, and I went back the next day and looked at it and the temperature, even though it was only 90 some degrees, had started to melt a little bit, get soft. Think about it though, not just like that, but structures begin to melt because of the heat. Mountains begin to quake. We hear about that with more frequency. The Bible says that in another place, the earthquakes in divers places. And we hear about earthquakes where we've never heard about earthquakes before. And one of the great things I liked about moving from California to Tennessee was I thought, oh man, we're out of the earthquake zone. I was tired of earthquakes. And then I find out that we're sitting within the range of a fault that created the biggest earthquake the United States ever experienced. But think about it as this begins to happen. Do you get warnings on earthquakes? No, nobody sends you a note. The earthquake will happen tomorrow. You get one and then you know some more are going to come. But that's the only way you get any warning is you get the first one. You see, all of these events that I just read to you that are mentioned in Scripture are not just what if they were to take place. It's just a matter of when will they take place. The Bible says they're going to happen. These are events that are going to shake the world. The Bible tells us there will be the earthquake part, and I didn't mention earthquakes as part of the message. But we also, there's the possibility that these volcanic eruptions could play a part in it. It's a possibility there could be an atomic explosion. There's a possibility that there could be a meteorite of some sort impact the earth. The Bible indicates that's a great possibility there with a star called Wormwood. We don't know all the details. But if we believe the Word of God, it's not a what if. It's a when. It will take place. The question is, what will you do? It's like the commercial for the guy that got the note that says your heart attack will occur at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Then it goes to the commercial. If you take such and such medicine, it'll help prevent heart attacks from taking place. So, of course, our guy in the commercial, he takes the medicine. God has warned us that these things would take place. The question is, what do we do with the warning that he has given us? First of all, if your heart's right with God, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't really think we have to worry too much. It's events that we know are going to happen, but we also know that God is in control and he's on our side. And as they say, he's got our back. He's watching out for us. But let's say you're listening to me today and you're not a Christian. What are you going to do? Yeah, maybe you've been raised in a home where the Bible was taught and you heard the Word of God and you believe the Bible is true. You just have never really gotten around to doing some of the things you know you need to do and taking care of business, so to speak. So what are you going to do? Are you going to be prepared? Are you going to be unprepared? Now, I know some people think, well, okay, man, if this is going to happen, I got to start stocking up. I got to get water. I got to stock up on food. I got to stock up on this and that. And I got to go buy myself a portable generator so I can still have electricity to power my computer, which can't get anything because everybody else's computer's down. I got to do this. I got to do that. Why don't you stop and think a minute here? The vast majority of the people living around you are not Christians. That's a fact of life. And they get in a situation like that, it's going to be, they're going to be looking out for number one, and number one isn't you. It's them. And if they know you've got this stuff, they're going to come take it. Or die trying. And guess what? You're probably going to defend it or die trying. The best way to be prepared is have Jesus Christ in your heart. If you're a born-again Christian, Jesus Christ is in your heart. He's in your life. And you're ready to meet God. You are prepared for these events. Oh, that could happen, and you may survive it, and you may be here for a little while or something, but God's in your heart. He's got your back. He's going to take care of you. He said, and this is his word, and he is a God who cannot lie. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Yes, we occasionally have to go through some hardships. We occasionally have to go through some trials. And we occasionally have, in fact, more than occasionally, once in a while, we go through things we just outright don't like. But he's looking out for us. And in the end, we win. Not what if, but when. I preached several messages recently having to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's not a what if, it's a when. He's coming again, and he's coming soon. And as I said before, I don't care whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever. He's coming. The question is, when, not what if. Events are taking place in the world right now that are setting the wheels in motion. God knows the time. He also put in the Word of God exactly events that were going to take place. And as we watch Scripture being fulfilled and we see these events on God's time clock taking place, we can know that he's counting down the time. I don't want to say the hours. I don't want to say the minutes. It might be the seconds. God's clock's a little bit different than ours. But it's at hand. The question for everybody, wherever you're at, is, are you ready? Because these events will take place. Jesus will come. And the only way you can truly be prepared is have Jesus Christ in your heart and life. And Father, today I ask if there's anyone listening to this message that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Father, that they would realize that their best way to prepare is to accept Jesus Christ into their heart, to be ready when Jesus comes. And Father, if we're ready for Jesus to come, we'll be ready for all of these things to take place. And Father, I pray that these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.